Imagine, you're standing outside the city of Béziers, right? It's 1209. The army of the Crusades is at the gates, and there's this massive problem.
Right, because the city is just packed with both heretics and faithful Catholics.
Exactly. So the soldiers ask how to tell them apart, and the Abbot of Sisto gives this totally chilling command. He says, "Slay them all, for the Lord knows who are his."
Yeah, that single sentence from Philippus van Limborch's records really captures the whole shift we're exploring today.
It does. In this exploration into the source material, we're looking at that exact moment the church stopped, trying to win hearts and started trying to own lives.
It's a staggering transformation, honestly. I mean, if
Yeah.
you look at the really early church fathers like Tertullian, they actually argued that religion absolutely must be a choice.
Right. Forced worship was basically seen as a mockery.
Exactly. But everything changed when the church married the state under Constantine. Suddenly, heresy, which, just means choosing a different belief, wasn't just a sin anymore.
It became a literal crime against the Roman Empire.
Yeah, a legal crime.
It's kind of like a slow leak in a dam that eventually just sweeps away an entire village. It starts with the Council of Nicaea in 325, where they define the official truth.
Right, but once the state gets involved, that truth becomes law.
Yeah, and if you don't follow the creed, you're not just a bad Christian, you're a traitor. You lose the right to own property, you can't make a will, and your kids.
They get completely barred from their
It's
inheritance.
a total civil erasure. Just gone.
And that legal erasure created this massive problem. By the time we hit the 13th century, the church had so many quote unquote criminals to process that the local bishops just couldn't keep up.
They were swamped.
Totally. And they were seen as too lenient or just, too busy. So this huge backlog is what necessitated the creation of the Inquisition.
They needed a centralized professional force.
Right. Enter the Dominicans and Franciscans. They were essentially the special forces of religious law.
Right, these weren't just humble monks in robes. They were hardcore investigators targeting groups like the Albigenses.
Who were basically a rival version of Christianity threatening the church's monopoly in France.
Yeah, but what's truly wild to me is the so-called mercy they offered. They called it a wholesome penance.
Yeah, but the word wholesome is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
Oh, absolutely.
Take the case of this one guy. Pontius Rogeret. After he converted, his wholesome penance was just a lifetime of public humiliation.
Oh, wow.
Every single Sunday, a priest would lead him to the church doors, totally naked, and whip him in front of his neighbors.
That is insane. And didn't he have to wear something too?
Yeah, he had to wear two large, different colored crosses sewn right onto his clothes at all times, and strict fasts, no meat or cheese ever.
Wait, calling that wholesome is just a PR masterstroke. It's not about like a spiritual detox, it's a psychological brand.
Exactly.
Those permanent crosses were basically a social death sentence. I mean, you couldn't walk into a market or find a job without everyone knowing you were a former traitor.
It was a living warning to the rest of the community, like choose the right path or end up like Pontius.
So it was essentially a theater of penance.
That's a perfect way to put it. And it was backed by the heavy machinery of the law. Even Emperor Frederick II, who, spent half his time fighting with the Pope, realized how useful this was.
Because about control.
Exactly. He legalized burning people alive and cutting out the tongues of dissenters.
Just brutal. The goal wasn't even to punish anymore. It was to silence the very possibility of a different idea.
Yeah. And then you get into the commodification of betrayal.
Oh, right, the bounty system.
Yes. The Inquisition actually paid a bounty, a mark of silver, to literally anyone who turned in a heretic.
And they had those familiars, right?
Yeah, the familiars. They were basically a secret police force of informants living right in your neighborhood. They turned the act of faith into a purely financial transaction.
Wow. So the Inquisition didn't just kill people, it destroyed the entire concept of a neighbor.
Exactly. It turned every casual dinner conversation into a potential deposition.
We've seen how this system was built, and it wasn't out of random anger. It was this highly structured legal bureaucracy designed to just completely dominate the human will.
It really makes you wonder about the power of the record keeper, you know?
How so?
Well, the Inquisition was one of the very first institutions to keep detailed, cross-referenced files on its citizens.
Oh, that is a haunting thought to end on. Because as you go about your day, consider this. Is the real danger of an inquisition the flame at the stake, or is it the meticulously organized filing cabinet used to get you there?
Such a good point.
I mean, if you lived in a system where silence was a crime and your neighbor's life was worth a mark of silver, would you actually have the courage to stay quiet? Something to mull over until next time.